We begin the current daf, Masechta Tzivah, daf Ayin Aleph. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we open up the Perek, the 8th Perek of Masechta Tzivah, Perek Aral, which opened up with the halacha that a Kohen, if he's uncircumcised, cannot partake from Truma. Now, the Gemara opened up with the Brai, so there were two different sources for this halacha. Rabbi Eliezer, as the Gemara had elaborated on his opinion on the previous daf, learned it out from Gzeirat Shavuah, from the halachas of Pesach, where it says over there, Toshav Esachar and Aral is forbidden to partake from the Karm Pesach. So to by Truma, where it says Toshav Esachar, it's also telling you that an Aral is forbidden to partake from Truma. Now, that the Gemara quotes the second opinion mentioned in that Braisa, Amamar, so it was said in the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva Omer, he said, in Etzarch, you don't need this Gezer Shavuah that Rabbi Elazar is saying from the halachas of Karm Pesach, because Harei Omer, it says in the context of the halachas of Truma itself, it says, Ish, which seems to be redundant. Why do I say the extra term of man? La Rabbis Aral comes to include also an Aral that not only those that are Tamei over there, which as the Pasuk there is clear, Tomat Alochas of Truma, as we see that the purification process for consuming that, which it says Kachim, that Pasuk is Harav Shemesh, sundown, which allows you only by Truma. And therefore, when it says the extra word Ish, it's coming to include also someone that's uncircumcised, that he cannot partake of Truma. Now, that the Gemara asks, similar line of questioning as we had on the previous daf asked on Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation. V'yema l'rabbis ha'sainan. So yes, there's an extra word ish coming to include somebody besides Zav and the other ones mentioned in the Pesukim over there that are Tamei from partaking of Truma. Maybe it comes to include also an Einin, someone that his relative had died that day, that they're also going to be Pasul and Truma, and that's not the halacha. So Rabbi Yisrael Ruchanin says, Amakrona, the Patsik tells you, v'chol zar, that is, and anyone that's a non-Kohen is forbidden to partake of Truma. Now, that the interpretation is Zaras Tamatilach. Who is forbidden to partake of Truma? Someone that's a non-Kohen, V'loyaninus, and not someone that is a Kohen, but it's just he's an Einin, which is some type of a level down in the sense that he cannot partake and do of everything, because in the status of Aninus, he's not able to do the same Avodah as a regular Kohen. But however, he could partake of Truma because B'chol Zar is excluding the Einin, saying if he's not a Zar, then he's not in Lo Yechol Truma, because although he's an Einin, but since he's a Kohen, he can partake of it. So therefore, we can't say that the extra word Ish is coming to say that an Einin cannot partake of Truma. And that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Eima, say, V'lo Yarelus. How do you know that B'chol Zar is coming to tell you, oh, only a non-Kohen cannot partake of Truma, but an Einin could? Maybe say that, no, only a non-Kohen cannot, but an Aral can, yes, partake of Truma. Another Gemara says, you can't say that. We just told you, that's Rabbi Kiva's Drasha, that the extra word Ish comes to tell you that an Aral cannot partake of Truma. That the Gemara asks, Amarisa, where did you see fit? In other words, there's one that's inclusive and one that's exclusive. One that's saying that not only are all these Aster, but also what you're saying is Aral. And then there's an exclusion of saying B'chol Zar, saying, oh, well, only a Zar is not able to partake of Truma, but an Einin could. So maybe switch it around. Maybe say B'chol Zar is coming to say that an Aral could partake, and Ish is saying that an Einin cannot partake. Now the Gemara says, no. Mistabra Arelas Havel Lerbuya, it would make more sense to say that what's also included in forbidden to partake of Truma is Aral, Shekein, Maisim, Krusim, Bidvar HaAved. It has all these stringencies, and therefore, it makes sense that it's the one that's also going to be possible with Truma. As the Gemara explains what this mnemonic means, the Maisim is, there's two Maisim that it's stringent. A, Mechusar Maisa, it's lacking in action, meaning to get out of the state of Arelas, you have to do an act of circumcision. Further of all, is Maisa Begufay. The act has to be nothing less than in the person's body himself, which is a real deficiency. And Va'anish Karas, being uncircumcised is a punishment of Karas for not circumcising. And V'yeshlef nehad dibur, it was such a strong commandment that it was even before Mount Taira. And Amilas charvav adav me'akeves, and circumcision is so big that if one's slaves or servants are not circumcised, the owner, the father, cannot partake of the Karban Pesach. So it makes sense that it's more of a heavier psul. And therefore, if we're including one psul in Ish, it makes sense Aral and not the case of Aninus. So you might say, what do you mean, Adarabba? Aninus have l'ribu? No, Aninus is a stringent type of an Isser that should have been included from Ish to say that it is Pasul and Truma. Because Shekein Yeshna B'chol Shah, Aninus is something that could happen at any moment of the day. He can have a relative that dies, in contrast to circumcision. Once you did it, it's done. V'neheges Banashim Anashim, it applies to both men and women, where circumcision is only by men. And V'im B'yad L'Sagin Hasma, Aninus is a state that you can't get yourself out of. You have to wait till you go through the process of Aninus, where circumcision, you just take a knife and you're done. The Gemara answers, Hanach Nefishin, yes, there are stringencies by Aninus, but there are more by Arelis, and therefore if we're passing one and permitting one, it makes more sense that we're passing Arelis and permitting from L'chol Zar that of Aninus. Now, Rav Amar, he says, B'loi Hanach Nefishin, even without this svara that we're giving in our answer that, oh, because there are more by Arel that are reasons to passel, even without that svara, Namaloi Metzis Amrit, you wouldn't be able to say that the one that we're saying is passel is Aninus, and the one that we're saying is permitted is Arelis. And the reason is because Amakro, what does the Pasuk say that we're darshaning from there to say that there's another individual that's possible with Truma? It says, Ish, that there's another man that's possible with Truma. Now, Ezehu, Davish, Yeshna, Ish, Ve'ena, Be'isha, what element is there of a soul that's by a man, because it's saying Ish, and not by a woman? We would say, that's Arelis, because only a man can be uncircumcised, not a woman. And that's in contrast to Aninus, which applies even to women. So if we're including something from Ish, it would be Arelis and not Aninus. So that was the conclusion of that braisa regarding Rabbi Elazar's opinion and Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Akiva, Haitoshev Sacher, this that it says the word, which seemingly superfluous words, Taishev Sacher, as we explained in the previous daf by Pesach, where Rabbi Elazar actually darshaned that mufna, those extra words to make a Gzeir Shava, to Truma, to say just like B'Pesach, Arul is forbidden so too by Truma, which Rabbi Akiva does not darshan because he actually knows the halacha of Arul being forbidden by Truma from Ish. So my avalei, what does he do with those words? And that is, as we explained in the previous daf, the basic translation of Taisha B'Sachar means an Eved Ivri, that's for 6 years, that's the Sachar, or for 50 years, that's the Nirtza, that's the Konekini Olam. Now, you can't say, which the Pasuk seems to be saying, that the Taisha B'Sachar cannot partake of the Karban Pesach, as we said, then not even their body is not acquired by the owner, that's why they don't need Truma, so why would they be forbidden to partake of the Karban Pesach, the regular Yisraelim? So what does he do with it to make a drasha? Rabbi Elazar Darshan said, for the halachas of Arul for Truma. Rabbi Akiva doesn't, so what does he do with those words? So I'm Rabbi Shmaya, he says, Lasuye Aravi Mohil V'Givani Mohil, comes to include an Arabs that are circumcised, and Givani, which is the name of another nation that they circumcise, that they're circumcised, that it's coming to say from the words Toshav Asachar, that although they're amongst you, they dwell amongst you, in the heart of you, that they cannot eat from the Karban Pesach, which that we would not have known from Arelis, because they're circumcised. So how would we know that a circumcised Arab and these Givani, who they do circumcise themselves, that if, let's say, they're workers by the Jew, that they cannot partake of the Karban Pesach, that we need to know from Taisha B'Sacha. That's what Rabbi Akiva does with those words. Now, on that, the Gemara asks on Rav Shmaya's interpretation. V'hani mulin ninu? What do you mean? You think the Arabs and the Givonim are, quote, considered circumcised, and that is, you need to exclude them from being able to eat from the Karban Pesach from different terms of Taisha B'Sacha? What do you mean? No, they are considered in halacha as arelim, as uncircumcised, and therefore they're already excluded from the term of kol aral lo yechabai. As the Gemara says, but now we learn the Mishnah Masechta in the Dharma as follows. If someone says, takes a nether, koinim shani nena l'arelim, I take a vow, I will not have any pleasure from somebody that's uncircumcised. So the halacha is, muta b'arel Yisrael, it's actually permitted to have anah, to have pleasure from an uncircumcised Jew, but v'asr b'mo'le v'tikachavim, he's forbidden to have pleasure from a circumcised non-Jew. Similarly in the reverse. Let's say he says, I take a vow, I'm not having any pleasure from someone that's circumcised. So he's actually still permitted to have pleasure from non-Jews that are circumcised. And it's forbidden to have pleasure from even Jews that are uncircumcised. Now that is as Rashi explains, because when someone takes an oath, it regarding even an uncircumcised Jew, in halacha we view him as he's circumcised. The reason is because regarding the Darim, it's what's called halach achalashim ne'adam. We go after the vernacular that people usually use. Now, Yisraelim, in the context of hashkafa and halacha, are not called arelim. We don't call them, they're not uncircumcised. Non-Jews are never called circumcised. So therefore, when the person takes a vow, if he says Arelim or Mailin, Arelim are always non-Jews, even if they're circumcised, and Mailim are always Jews, even if they're uncircumcised. And therefore, that would be the ramification regarding Neder. But one thing we see from this Mishnah is that who's in Halach, if the Pasuk says that Kol Arul Lo Yochel Bai, that includes every non-Jew, even if he's a Gevaini or an Aravi, that's Mahol. So therefore, how can you say we need Teisha B'Selcha for B'Kiva to exclude them if they're already excluded from Kol Aro Lo Yechol Boy? So El Rav, the Gemara gives a different explanation for B'Kiva, that what do you need the term Ger B'Teisha by the Karban Pesach? La'suye Ger Shemol B'Lay Tavol. It's coming to include a convert that's circumcised but did not immerse himself in the mikveh yet, or of a Katan Shenel Kishumol, or a minor that was born already circumcised. Now, Uksava, Rabbi Kiva holds that a minor that was born circumcised, Tzarech lahatav mimena dam bris, you still have to draw some blood from the place of circumcision. And that is, so what we see from here is that although he's not an Oral, because he was born Mahol, or the Ger was already Mal, however, that's what we're excluding from Teisha B'Sachar to say that if he didn't, however, have Tevila, if he's a Ger, or if he didn't have a Tavas dam bris, if he's a minor that was born with already circumcised, that he will not be able to partake of the Karban Pesach because he's not yet a full-fledged Jew, either because he didn't have a tefillah as a ger, or if he didn't have a tavas dam bris as a child. So although it's not kol aral because he's not an aral, but it still won't be able to eat from the Karban Pesach. And that's what we need Teisha B'Sachar to tell you. Now, whereas the Gemara tells us, Rebbe Eliezer, however, he does not exclude them from the word Teisha B'Sachar, because actually he used Teisha B'Sachar to exclude an oral by Truma, it's Litame, he goes according to his opinion, Dama, that he says in Perek HaChaylitz, Ger Shemol V'Lo Tavol, regarding a convert that's circumcised and did not immerse in the mikveh, Ger Ma'al Yehu, he is a full-fledged Ger, and hence he would be able to partake of the Karban Pesach. And also, regarding the second component, he holds that a mind that was born already circumcised, you do not have to draw blood, and therefore that's why he doesn't need Teisha B'Sachar like Rabbi Kiva does to exclude those two individuals, because he holds those two individuals are full-fledged Jews, and therefore they would be able to partake of the Karban Pesach. Now the Gemara asks, same way it asked regarding what did Rabbi Kiva do with Rabbi Eliezer's terms, now the Gemara asks Rabbi Eliezer, Hayish my Ovid Leg, what does he do with Rabbi Kiva's source for the Halacha of Oral, where he learns out from Ish that an Oral is forbidden to partake of Truma, but Rabbi Eliezer already knows that from Teisha B'Sachar of Pesach. So what does he do with Ish? The Gemara answers, Dibur Torah Kolosh Miyadam. That's not a question, because there's actually no drush from the word Ish, because the Torah talks like people talk, and people sometimes say these redundant type of terms, and therefore that's why it says Ish, but it's not a source for anything. And that's the conclusion of the discussion, which was began in the beginning of the paragraph in the previous staff, regarding two sources of Kiva and Rebelaza, regarding how do we know that an oral is forbidden to partake of Truma. Now the Gemara moves on, qualifications of the specifics of the halachas of this and oral, someone that's uncircumcised, is forbidden to partake of Truma. By Rav Chama Bar Okva, he asked the following question. Cotton oral, a minor that's before 8 days, when he has to have, when the meal is supposed to be, let's say he's 5 days old, who is obviously uncircumcised. What's the halacha? You let anoint him with oil of truma. Now, the halacha is, as the Gemara brings himself to Shabbos, that sicha, anointing, shmirin, is like shtia, is like drinking, which we learn that from a pasuk, but tavi kamayim b'kirboi ukeshemet batzmaisa, where it equates drinking like oil on the person's bones, on the person's body. So the Gemara's question is as follows. Do we say, arei l'shule b'zmanam ha'akfa, that we said an oral cannot partake of truma. Therefore, even if he's not even the time of having his bris mila yet, it doesn't make a difference. He's an oral, therefore he's not allowed to partake of truma. Or loy ma'akvo, maybe you say that no, he's not, quote, an oral. An oral is only if you have a mila to do. If you don't have a mila to do because he's 5 days old, then the arelis would not be a problem and you'd be able to nurse him with truma, you'd be able to anoint him with truma, and that wouldn't be a problem. So Amr Zera, this is the first of many opinions mentioned, because Toshma, he brings a raya from the following brisa, that it would be forbidden, and then all the interpretations afterwards are going to say there's no raya from here, that could be it permitted, and it's not the raya. But Rabbi Zera's raya is as follows. He says, Ainly, I would only know that it would withhold a person from consuming, from eating the Karban Pesach, Ela Milas Zacharv. I would only know regarding if someone has male children, that is, and they're uncircumcised, b'shas asiyah, at the time of making the Karban Pesach. Meaning, there's a pasuk in Shemos Yud Beis which talks about when a person has male sons that he has to circumcise them. It says if he circumcises them, then v'az yikub la'asayisay, then he could bring it closer to make it, which is a reference to making the Karban Pesach, is when you slaughter the Karban Pesach. So it only says that they're a problem for him if he has uncircumcised sons regarding when in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan when he's bringing the Karban Pesach. Now, similarly, I would only know va'avada b'shas achila regarding if someone has uncircumcised slaves that he has to circumcise them at the time of consumption of the Karban Pesach, which is the evening of the 15th of Nisan. Because by one slaves, it says oz yecholboy. After he circumcised the slaves, then he could eat from it. Now, what that means is that even if he didn't have this eved at the time of the making the Karban Pesach, but then sometime later, after he already brought it to so many Jews there in Yerushalayim, he met someone else, he says, look, you want to have my slave? He says, yeah, sure, I need one. I could use a waiter for tonight for the Seder. So at the time of when he's eating the Karban Pesach, then he has a slave. So the Pasuk is saying that if he's uncircumcised, we'll not allow him to eat the Karban Pesach, because it only says in the context of Oz Yoichaboy. Now, minayin litinis amr shel zeh bezeh ves amr shel zeh bezeh. Now, how do you know that each one will also have the problem of the other one? And that is regarding one's sons, that he has to be circumcised also when he's coming to eat. And even if he didn't have him at the time of when he was making the Karban Pesach, because already it's a problem when he's making it, which is earlier in the day. How do you know that even then it would hold him back from eating the Karban Pesach? And similarly regarding the Eved, that the Eved's a problem not only by the eating, but you can't bring your Karban Pesach to make it if you have an Eved that's Aral. So that the Bryce says, Tamal Leimer, Oz Gzer Shava, we have a Gzer Shava by sons, it says, Oz Yikav Lasley, so then he could bring the Karban Pesach, and by the Avadim, it says, Oz Yoichel, but then he could eat it. So same term of Oz. Then, by both of them, so we say, just like by Eved, it's a problem for consumption, so too by sons, and just like by sons, it's a problem for slaughtering the Karban Pesach, so too by slaves. Now, and that Reb Zera concludes his ride from this Bryce. Bishleim avadav, we could understand the case conceptualization of the slave. Mishkachas lo de'isnehu b'shas achila. It's possible that you could have the uncircumcised slave as an impediment only when you're coming to eat the Karban Pesach. But v'lesnu b'shas asiyah. Now he wasn't there. Let's say you didn't purchase him yet before you had made the Karban Pesach, because it's tumah kagoyin dezavninu beini. In the interim, you already slaughtered the Karban Pesach, and everyone's around, and you're schmoozing, and you buy him in the middle, so you see how he could be a problem of only az yoichel boy, of just consumption, because he didn't stop you from slaughtering. But the problem is, el zacharov, but regarding one's male sons, where we're saying that from the Kizay Shav of us, we're coming to include that he's a problem, not only for slaughtering the Karban Pesach, but even for consumption of the Karban Pesach. Which obviously means that he didn't get in your way, he wasn't there yet, there wasn't a problem of the male son not being circumcised by the time of bringing it earlier in the day. Now, de'isnu b'shas achila, v'lesnu b'shas asiyah, heichem mishkachsa, how could you have such a case of a son that is there, uncircumcised, when you're coming to eat the Seder by the nighttime, but it wasn't there earlier in the day when you were sacrificing the Karban Pesach? Love this Yalu bin Asil Achila. Isn't it obvious that it's talking about a case where he was born between those hours of when you slaughtered the Karban Pesach and that you by the Seder night coming to eat the Karban Pesach? Now Shema Mino, so therefore Ibzei says what you can infer from this price is Arelis Shalei Bezman, Havi Arelis. Obviously, being uncircumcised, even just a few hours old, which is what this case is talking about, is considered being uncircumcised. And therefore, the father cannot eat the Karban Pesach that night if his son is uncircumcised, because that's the only case we could have, that he wasn't a problem for the Asiyah, but he was for the Achila, because he was born only then a few hours later, after the Asiyah, before the Achila. And therefore, Reb Zeira wants to conclude, to resolve Reb Chaim Bar Okra's question, that obviously a cotton oral is considered an oral, and hence you cannot smear him with this Shemen of Truma, he's forbidden to partake of Truma. And that the Gemara brings many different interpretations, that give a different interpretation of this brisa, of its drasha for banim of only b'shas achila, not b'shas asiya, and that it wouldn't be a right to observe. Amar Rav, he says a second interpretation of this brisa. He says, v'tizbra, can you entertain your interpretation of Zera? He might like, kol zoch amar chama. What does the Torah tell you? The Torah tells you, know why is that a problem? You have these uncircumcised sons. Go ahead and circumcise every male. Then, v'oz, yikav l'asaisa, then you can go ahead and sacrifice your Karban Pesach. Now, v'hai lav bar mehilahu, but a child that's a few hours old is not a child able to be circumcised. It only starts at day 8. And therefore, how could you say that the father wouldn't be able to consume the Karban Pesach if for a child that's only a few hours old to then prove that, oh, he's considered an oral, and therefore he can't eat truma either? Can't say that, because it's only if someone that you could do mila to, and that's only on the 8th day. Ella, rather, there's no raya. Hachamai eskin, you know what we're talking about over here? That the child was only after the Asiyah, before the Achila, that the child was ill. He got healed. Then his fever went down. Now, therefore, that wasn't the case by the Pshas HaSi'i. He was still sick, so then you couldn't do the Bris Milah. Afterwards, he got better, his fever went down. Then you can go ahead and do the Milah, and therefore that would be a problem of Bishas Achila. But obviously, if he was younger than 8 days old, he wouldn't be considered a Katan Arul to make a problem for his father, and neither to be Asr Ti Truma. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that his fever just went down now, a few hours before the Seder, but V'nesa B'lei Kol Shiva, then why are you saying that if his fever went away now, at the time of eating the Seder, that then his father would not be able to eat the Korban Pesach if he doesn't circumcise him first? But it's still not the time of the Milah of that child. Because actually we learn the Brisa later on that says that Yem Havru Asa Ki Yem Hivaldai, that the day that he gets healed is the day that he's born. Meaning, as the Gemara says, the Amar Shmuel, Chaltsasi Chama Noisna Kol Shiva, someone that's fever went away. So if the child was ill and therefore he couldn't do the Bris Milah, and he's finally healed and his fever goes away, you have to wait another 7 days, just like a child that's born, you wait another 7 days till the 8th day. So to be here, you have to wait 8 days. So if his fever just went away, so again, he shouldn't be a promise for his father. How can you say that's the case of B'Shaz Achila that wasn't B'Shaz Asiyah? I thought the Gemara answers, Diavina Lekol Shiva. No, someone that we already gave him 7 days. In other words, what's talking about is that it was 8 days before his fever went away. Then we waited 7 days, and that actually came out on the 14th of Nisan, which is 7 days post the fever going away, and that's on this day, and therefore now that could be a problem of Bishas Asiyah and not of Bishas Achila and not Bishas Asiyah. I think we're asked why. V'nimalei Metzafra, you should circumcise him already from the morning. Now, since in the morning we know that Bris Milah is 8 days. 8 days, not 24-hour periods. If it's on the Sunday, it's going to be the Bris Milah the next Sunday. And we know we do the Bris already in the morning. So therefore, the problem is already from the Shas Asiyah, because they bring the carbon only from Chatzais and on. So why do you need, again, why the question is back, why do you need a Pasuk to say that he could be a problem of, if he's only a problem for Shas Achila? We learned it out from Eved. But he's a problem already from Shas Asiyah, and the Bris could already be done in the morning, even if he's saying it's fever from 7 days ago, but that starts in the morning. So the Gemara answers, "Beina, no, we need." And we continue to Amud Beis, "Mi'es li'es." We need exactly 7 days of 24-hour periods, and therefore we're talking about that 7 days before his fever had left him after noontime, which makes the 8th day or only after noontime, which had already b'shas asiyah was not a problem for his father because it was not an arul because you couldn't do the circumcision anyway. It's only a problem for shas achila, and that's what we're learning out from Eved. Let the Gemara ask, but Vatani Luda, the name of a sage, said that Yom Havur Asai, the day of the healing of the child, is Kiyami Vold, is like the day that he's born, which means to say that you have to wait 8 days. Now, my love, so the Gemara says, isn't this what Luda is saying? That my Yom Hivoldo loy be in the Meisle Ace, he's comparing it exactly to the day of the birth. Just like the day of the birth, you don't need exactly 8 days of 24-hour periods. As long as the baby was born before Shkia, you can go ahead and do it in the 8th day in the morning already. Doesn't that sound like that also the day of the healing, you don't need 24-hour periods? And therefore, already on the 8th day will be in the morning time. So again, so it's already B'Shas Asiyah that is a problem. So why do you need a limud of Shas Achila? Isn't that a right Reb Zera? Nothing more says like, it's that actually the day of healing is better than the day, meaning it's stronger, it's more stringent than the day of his birth. Whereas by the day of the birth, you don't need 8 days of 24-hour periods. However, by the day of the healing, you actually do need 8 days of 24-hour periods. Now, this that Luda said, was only referencing in regards to the halacha of 8 days. But regarding the specifics of those 8 days, that he would agree it's different, and that you need 24-hour periods. And that four comes out after Chatzais on the 14th of Nisan, which is only a problem for Achila, not for Asiyah, and that's what we needed to learn out from Az, from Avadim. Now the Gemara brings a third interpretation of this Brisa, again, not like the first interpretation of Reb Zera, who wanted to prove from here that Arelis would be Asir even before the 8th day for a cotton. He says no. Papa Amar says, Kagoyin de Koivle Einel Yenuka. We're talking about that the eye of the child was hurting, V'itpach Beini Beini, and he healed between the period of the Asiyah, of the Karban Pesach, of noontime, and the eating, which is only that evening on the 15th. Now, as Rashi explains, we don't give a period of 7 days for a child that his eye got better. It's only for a child that had a fever. And therefore, it could be that this happened actually in between the Asiyah and the Achila. Rav Amar, he gives a fourth interpretation. He says, it's not a right to observe that the father and mother were locked up in jail, meaning at the time of the Asiyah. Now, the mitzvah of Mila that's incumbent upon them is only on them and not on others. Now, they couldn't go ahead and do it. They couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, so they sent a messenger to slaughter it for them. Now, they couldn't do the Bris Mila either, so therefore that wasn't an impediment for them, because if they're locked up, so then they're oinus. That the Pesach is teaching, if they get out of jail sometime after Chatzos in the 14th of Nisan, then although you're right, the Asiyah wasn't a problem because they couldn't do it anyway because they were an oinus, and they couldn't even bring the Korban Pesach either, but a messenger could do that for them. That was saying that, however, the circumcision of their son would hold them back regarding the consumption tonight because Mila's benam is a problem not just for Asiyah, it's even a problem for Achila. Kana Beredra of Nechemio Amar, he says a fifth interpretation. He says, Kagain Tumtum Shenikra, talking about that the child was a Tumtum. A Tumtum is someone that's not clear regarding if it's a male or a female, that the genitals are covered with a thin membrane. And now that tore, Venimtza Zachar, and it was found out that he was a male, Baini Ubaini. It only tore between the period of the Asiyah, the Korban Pesach, and the Achila, and therefore that's only when the Chalois of the Arelis began, because up until then there's a tumtum, there's no circumcision that you're doing. When that member rips and we see that he has a male member, that's when the obligation starts, and therefore you could have a case of that he's not a problem for the Asiyah, but it's a problem for the Achila. Rav Shravi Amar, he says a sixth interpretation. He says, we're talking about that the child's head came out of the vaginal canal of the mother, and his head was out. And 7 days passed in that state. Now, however, from the moment the child's head comes out, he's already considered a child. As Gemara says himself, this need daf chav tes, that if his head comes out, he's already considered like born. Now, however, only after noon on the 14th of Nisan, meaning after the time of the Sia, and before the Achila, his entire body came out, which that's exactly the time of after 7 days when it's time to circumcise him. Now, therefore, you could have a case where actually by the time of the Asiyah, his body wasn't out, so obviously not doing circumcision, only his head's out, but we're starting to count the 8 days from when his head comes out. Therefore, in the morning, he couldn't do it. It's only when his body comes out, which is when you do the third circumcision, which was between the Asiyah and the Chila. Now, that the Gemara asked, Umichai, is this case of Rav Shavya even actually able to happen in reality? Could a child live in that state? But by the time you learn the Braisa that's brought in Masechtas Nidah that says, Kivan Shiyotza La'aver Oilam. Once a child is removed from the uterus, comes out to the ear space of the world, there's a big change that happens, which is critical. Niftach Hasasim, what was closed up until now suddenly opens. V'nistama Pesuach, and what was closed suddenly opens. And that is, the child, when he's in utero as a fetus, his mouth is closed, but his abdomen is open, and that's he's feeding from his mother. Now, once he comes out to the world, so what was closed, which was his mouth open so that he could breathe and that he could nourish, and what was closed up, what was open till now, which was his abdomen, closes up so that his insides don't come out. Now, shel molikin, because if that wouldn't happen, en yochel lichis afilo sha'achas, the child would not be able to survive even for a moment. And that's actually the bracha of Asher Yatzar. Hashem made the person with such wisdom, with all these holes and those which are cavities, which he can't survive even for a moment. What's closed opens, and what's open closed, and if it would stay what it was in utero, he wouldn't survive. Now, as Rashi says, he says the reason why the child wouldn't be able to survive because if his mouth would stay closed like it was in utero, then he wouldn't be able to nurse. And therefore, the same thing's over here. How could the child be halfway in and halfway out, but what's inside is in the state of utero, and what's outside would be on the outside, and therefore how can you have a child that seemingly would have his mouth closed and cannot nourish if he's still in that state of utero, albeit that his head out? Now, that Gemara says, how could he survive for 7 days if we said even for one moment he cannot? There is a way that he could survive, which literally means to say that his fever feeds him. Meaning, as Rashi brings, as many times the Gemara says such a concept, that a person's illness can feed him through the sickness, and he survives off the fever. Now that the Gemara is Ishta Deman, whose fever are we talking about? Ilem Ishta Dideh, if we mean it's his fever, and the meaning that he had a fever, and then when he came out, when his body fully came out, then the fever left him. Well, he hachi kol sheva boy, if that would be the case, then how do we understand Rav Shavuot's case? Then you would have to wait from when he comes out between the Asiya and the Chila another 7 days, because we said Yem Evrasa Ki Yem Evolda. So the Gemara says, El Dezante Ishta De'imin. Now we're talking about that it was his mother who had a fever in those state where the head was out for 7 days, and that's how he was able to survive, even though generally a child cannot survive a Felesha Achas because he can't nurse. Here he didn't have to nurse because the fever itself sustained the child. Vibay Sema Orfit, the Gemara says, what you could say is, although we asked the question, how could he survive? So the Gemara says, Hanamili, when did we say that a child cannot survive even for a moment? It's Heichaduloi Ma'ave. It's where the child's not screaming. But if a child's screaming, where some of Rishonim explained, because that generates heat like a fever, then he could survive, and therefore that's how Rav Shavuot's case is talking about, that it was only his head out of the canal for 7 days, and then after the sea was when his whole body came out, that's when the circumcision would be mandated, which would only be for the Achila and not for the Asiya. But be that as it may, we have five interpretations, not like the Raya of Bezer, and there's no proof that a cotton oral would be forbidden to partake from Truma. Now, a related discussion, the Gemara says, Amr B'yechidim Shemer B'na, he says, Oral, a Jewish person that was uncircumcised, that became Tameh from contacting a dead corpse, Mikabel Hazah, could be sprayed, which is what's done for someone that becomes Tameh, they spray him with the Paraduma ashes, he could be sprayed to become tar from his Tumah, and although he's uncircumcised, when he circumcised himself after that, he doesn't have to go back and spray himself again to be able to eat kachim. And we don't say that the fact that he was an oral at the time of the hazah is not considered a hazah, because he can't consume in that state. We're saying, no, the fact that he was an oral is not a problem. He could first purify himself and then do arela and then do mila and then consume kachim without doing another hazah. As Rabbi Noah says, Shekim Etzin Baba saying, we find the same thing by our forefathers in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun for their carbon pesach that they had in Gilgal. That is Shekiblu Hazah, where they were sprayed from the tumas mess that they had, Kishna Reilin, in the state of, and they were uncircumcised when they had that spraying, and yet still they were able to eat the Karm Pesach afterwards. Shem, like it says a Pesach in Yeshua. It says, V'ha'am ya'olum in hayad, and this is when they're finally entering Eretz Yisrael after the 40 years in the desert, and Yeshua Menon is taking them in. It says that the people went up from the Jordan, ba'asal al-chaydish arishon, on the 10th of the first month, that is the month of Nisan. Now, that the Gemara explains. Basar le'mehili. On the 10th of Nisan, they weren't circumcised, meaning those who in the desert were uncircumcised. Mishum chol shedorcha, because they had been traveling all this time. They were weak from the travel. So on the 10th of Nisan, when they finally arrived, that day they're definitely not circumcising yet. So they weren't circumcised yet on the 10th of Nisan. Now, that the Gemara says, Hazah emes avilhu. Now, when exactly did they have these sprayings to get rid of their tumah that they could go ahead and eat the Karban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan? Meaning to be able to bring it on the 14th of Nisan, their Karban Pesach. And that is, as Rashi explains, because the majority of the Tzibur were all Tmei Meis. And the reason is because their fathers, meaning all those that had from the generation that left Egypt, they all died in the desert. Now, these were their children who they had to bury their fathers. They had to go ahead and be involved in their father's burial. Now, as it says a pasuk in Yeshua, it says, "Ve'es b'neihem hakim tachtem isim al Yeshua." Who are those that Yeshua circumcised? Were the sons of those that left Mitzrayim. Now, the question is, so they had to be purified first from their tumas mis, which they had throughout the years in the desert. So how did they become tar to eat the Karban Pesach? Must be, lav kashin areilim. Isn't it talking about that even though they were purifying themselves when they were still uncircumcised? Meaning, because there's a period of 7 days which has to be for the purification of the Paraduma waters, which is on day 3 and day 7. Or that everyone had it done when they were in the Midbar, that they sprayed themselves on day 3 and day 7. Or even now that they were being sprayed, but it has to be that they did it no later than the 10th of the month of Nisan. Because you have to have day 3 and day 7. So you have to have a 4-day differential. The last one could be done on Erev Pesach. But that means to say you have to have 4 days between each hazah. So if they didn't do it until the 11th, if you're saying that you have to first be circumcised, then you could do the hazah. Now, the earliest they circumcised was on the 11th, because the 10th they were still worn out. So if they only sprayed themselves on the 11th of Nisan, it would come out that the second spraying 4 days later would be too late, because you have to be on the 14th of Nisan. So if you did on the 10th, they could do it on the 14th, 4 days later. So you see that on the 10th was the latest was the first spraying, and by then they were still uncircumcised, because the earliest they circumcised was on the 11th of Nisan. So therefore you see, Rabbi Noah's halacha, that an oral could be makabel hazah. Now that the Gemara asks, but dimalei avad pesach klal. How do you know? Maybe that year they didn't bring the carbon pesach, and therefore, yes, they went ahead and what's the raya that he could go ahead and purify himself to be able to eat kachem afterwards? There's no raya because maybe there was no kachem then. They didn't have the carbon pesach. And the Gemara says, no, leisaker does. They can't say that. It says it within the pasuk. V'yasus a pesach. They brought the carbon pesach. So if they eat in the carbon pesach, the kachem and the hazah, the last one was no later than the 14th, which means the first one was on the 10th, and they weren't circumcised until the earliest 11th. Now on that, the Gemara asks, maskevla marzutra. Okay, you're right. They definitely had the carbon pesach that year. But v'dilma pesach abba b'tumah hayu, maybe that was the carbon pesach that they brought in the state of tumah. When the raiva that sibra is tumah, then you could bring the carbon pesach in the state of tumah. So what's the raya? Maybe to become purified with hazah, you have to be circumcised. And although they had their spraying before they had their arelis, before they had the bris milah, you're right, that's why it didn't work, but they brought the carbon pesach in the state of tumah. On that only Ravashi, no, you can't say that tanya behadi, we learned explicitly in the brisa, malu b'tavlu, the Jews at that time, when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, they circumcised and they immersed, and they brought the carbon pesach in the state of tara, and therefore, obviously, you see Rabbi Noah's halacha, that an oral is makabel hazah, he could be purified from his tumas mes, even in the state of arelis, being uncircumcised. Now the Gemara moves on to a related discussion regarding this topic of oral of the halachas of circumcision. So Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchok Amar Rabbi says, Le nitna priyas mila l'Avram Avinu. There are two components of the halacha of circumcision. There's the mila, the circumcision, which removes the heart, the outer layer of skin. Then there's something what's called priya, which priya means to say to peel away, to uncover the makum of the aver, which is that there's a thin membrane underneath the arla, which is the piece of skin on the top. You remove that, there's still this membrane. Then the moil generally goes ahead and he takes his thumb, fingernail, and pulls back that thin membrane. That's priya. That's the second component of the mitzvah of, that we know commonly as mila. That actually was not given to Avraham Avinu. They only had the mitzvah of mila to remove the outer skin, but not that of priya. Shneim, like it says over there, in the Pesukim of Yeshua that we were just quoting, and that's why the Gemara brought in this discussion over here, it says, "Be'isahi at that time, Amar Hashem el Yeshua, Hashem said to Yeshua, Aselecho charvis tzurim v'gemer, make for yourself sharp knives." Now, the conclusion of the pasuk is, "Beshuv meilis b'nei Yisrael sheinis," and then go ahead and circumcise the Jewish people a second time. Now, that is the source for that, although that they were circumcised, but now you have to do it again the second time, you have to go ahead and do priya. And therefore we see that this was when they was introduced, but from the times of Avraham Avinu, they didn't yet have the mitzvah of priya, of peeling back that thin membrane. Now that the Gemara asks, what's the source from this pasuk? V'dilma hanach dolei mol, maybe that Hashem was commanding Yeshua to circumcise those that in the desert were never circumcised. But nothing tells us that now they're introducing a new component of mila, which is priya. That's like it says within the pasuk. It says a few pasukim later on, says kimulim hoyu kol am hayoytzim, because all those who left Egypt, they were circumcised already. As they circumcised themselves, where they had these two bloods by the first seder in Mitzrayim. However, the pasuk tells us b'chol am hayulodim v'goymer, but all those people that were born, as the pasuk there concludes, by midbar in the desert, by derech b'tzeisam in Mitzrayim, in the way of when they were leaving Egypt, loy malu, they weren't circumcised. So maybe Hashem is telling Yeshua, okay, in the desert they weren't circumcised, but now that you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, you have to go ahead and circumcise them. How do you know that we're talking about even those that were circumcised, that you have to circumcise them again, because the mila they did, but they didn't do the priya, maybe it's only talking about those that were never circumcised. That the Gemara answer is, no, you can't say that. Because im kein, if that would be the case, my shuv, what would the word shuv, it says that he tells Yeshua, v'shuv malish, and then go again and circumcise. What do you mean again? It's the first time. Halalav lepri, obviously saying that no, even those that were already circumcised, circumcise them again. What do you mean again? Because you took off the outer layer of skin, you have to now go ahead and reveal the lower layer, that of the thin membrane. Now, the Gemara asks, if so, umay shenis. Now that you're expounding the word shuv, which sounds like it's coming to include something that again, so why does the pasuk there conclude b'shuv melitz b'nei Yisrael shenis a second time? What do you mean a second time? B'shuv is already saying a second time. What's shenis? So the Gemara says that's for a different halacha. Lakushay seif mi l'litchilis. That was to equate the end of the circumcision to the beginning of the circumcision, as follows. Matchilas mi l'makevet. Just like the beginning of the circumcision, that there are certain things that are withhold the validity of the circumcision. You have to do a complete circumcision. Af seif mila, so too the end of the circumcision. In other words, let's say when you're done, if there are certain strands of the areolus that are still hanging over there, if the entire outer layer of skin was not taken off, will also be ma'akvin, but will also withhold the validity of this person's considered a mahal. Then now, like Mishnah says the Shabbos. Mishnah says, Elohein tzitzin hama'akvin es amila. These are the strands of the outer layer of skin that will withhold the validity of the circumcision. And they are, basra ha'chayf es rev hatar. It's the flesh on the male member that covers the majority of the corona, which is the tip of the member, which is the place where the circumcision is done. And therefore, if a kohen is in that type of a state, so although he had a bris milah, but there's a majority of the corona that's still covered with the remaining remnants of the flesh, he cannot eat truma. Now, on that, Ravina, beat him, as some say it was Rabbi Yimri, but Abba Maravi qualifies it, says, it's basr ha'chayfa esrev goyvish ha'atar. Even if it's not the majority of the circumference of the corona, of the top part, it's even if it's just, let's say, a thin part of this of the entire circumference, but if it covers at least a majority of the height of the corona, that will be considered tzitzin hama'akfin, and if someone had such a bris milah, it's not valid, and he's still considered an oral, and cannot partake of trum. Now, the Gemara does ask, however, which we brought in from that pasuk, that the Jewish people, whoever was not circumcised in Egypt, was not circumcised for their entire journey in the desert, they only became circumcised when they finally came into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara asks, why didn't they circumcise the Jewish people in the desert? So the Gemara says, if you want, you could say the reason is because of the weakness of the travels that they had in the desert. That's therefore because they were too vulnerable, they couldn't be circumcised, which would weaken them even more. Or the reason is because during the entire 40 years, there was never this northern wind, which is the calm wind that blows, which it's not too hot, not too cold, and the sun shines. The time, for the entire 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, there wasn't this northern wind blowing during the daytime, and therefore there was no sun to shine, because what was removing the clouds is the northern wind, and they didn't have the northern wind, so therefore there was no sun which is able to heal the child that's being circumcised, and since there was a northern wind and they couldn't be healed with the sun, with this calm weather, therefore they didn't circumcise because of that reason. Now the Gemara asks, on this second interpretation, which we have a source that the northern wind didn't blow, my time, why is it that there was no northern wind for all those 40 years? So the Gemara says, Ibais emim shum denizuvim havu. Either you could say the reason is because for those 40 years, the Jewish people were considered like in Chayim, they were rebuked from Hashem. And the reason is because they had served the golden calf, and therefore they weren't fitting for pure light coming through from the sun. And therefore there was no northern wind to remove the clouds to have the sun, because they weren't worthy for that, therefore there was no northern wind. The Ibai same, or if you want, you could say the reason why there was no wind that was blowing away the clouds was, which was done by the northern wind, was that the Lainivdar Anani covered, so that the clouds of glory which surrounded the Jewish people should not be blown away by the northern wind, and therefore, by default also, since they couldn't be there to blow away the Anani HaKavod, so therefore the regular clouds were there too also, and therefore there wasn't sun to come in, and again, that's why the Jewish people couldn't circumcise, because they didn't have the sun that they could be able to be healed. Now, based on this, Amar Papa says, as we see for the Jews in the desert, Hikach Yemed De'eva, so therefore a cloudy day, which we see cloudy is not good, and the Yemed De'Shusa, a day when the southern wind is blowing, which that's the harshest of all the winds, Loi Ma'alina Be'i, so we don't do circumcision, because the elements and the weather have to be perfect. As we see, that's why they didn't circumcise the entire 40 years. And we let blood, which was bloodletting, a Talmudic time, what they used to do, they used to heal themselves. We don't do that either because it makes the person more vulnerable. He's weaker when he lets blood, either through circumcision or through Hakaza. We don't do it on a cloudy day or on one of these really windy days. However, the Gemara concludes, but today's times, when what literally means say that the many thresh, meaning everyone steps on this halachic concept of being careful with their health, of not doing it unless the weather's perfect, then we could apply the pasuk in Tehillim that says, Shem Ibsam Hashem Hashem, he safeguards the foolish or the innocent ones, and ever since we don't know better, and everyone's doing it, so and nothing happens, we could continue doing it, even if the weather is not perfect, to do a circumcision. Now, related to this, the Gemara concludes, Tan Rabban, Kol Oisin Arbam Shana Shayso B'Midbar, we said that, although there was no wind, there was no Ruach Tzafinus for those 40 years, but however, all those 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, Lahayayim, there wasn't one day that went by, Shalei Nashav by Ruach Tzafinus, that the northern wind didn't blow, however, at least, B'Chatzi HaLayla, at midnight, it did blow. Shalem HaKa says a pasuk in Shemais, it says, Vayihi B'Chatzi HaLayla, there was by midnight, V'Hashem Hiku Kol B'Chor B'Goyim, that Hashem smite all the firstborns of the Egyptians. And therefore, we know that the northern wind blew every night by midnight, albeit that it didn't blow during the daytime, and therefore they couldn't do circumcision. So the Gemara is my Talmud. What do you see from Makas B'chayres that there was northern winds for the 40 years in the Midbar? The Gemara says, no, Hakamash Mo. What we see from that pasuk is the Eis Rots in Milsehi, a time of willingness, which is the time of midnight. It's a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eis Rots in. And how do we know that? Because that's the time when they redeemed the Jewish people by finally destroying the Egyptians by killing their firstborns. Therefore, that's what the Gemara was concluding, that it's also an Eis Ratzin to have this necessary element of the northern wind. And if we know that there was no night, that at least by midnight there wasn't a Ruach Tzafinus. Now that was actually what David HaMelech used as a sign, for he would have a harp hanging above his bed, and it was placed towards the northern element. And once it reached midnight, then the northern wind would come and blow, and the harp would start playing, and that's how he'd wake up. Now, so what Rashi says is that the reason why we say that it's for the 40 years, what do you mean, every night the northern wind blows at midnight, because it's always Eis Ratzin. Why are we saying it regarding the 40 years of the Jews in the Midbar? It's coming to say, as we had been saying before, that even though for the 40 years they were Nezufim, and it didn't blow during the daytime, however, what the Gemara is concluding is, however, it did blow by at least by midnight, because that is a time of Eis Ratzin, as we know that there are certain concepts wrote down of Tekken Chatzais, which is the time of midnight, and therefore it did blow at least by Chatzais.